QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Frost for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KSXQ. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, a couple of announcements here. This upcoming Saturday is the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting once a month. That will start at 5:30 with a tech hour and go to 6:30, which 6:30 is the general meeting. Open to all guests, and that is at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, just east of downtown Big Bear Lake there. So, hope to see you all there. Second announcement is the Sunday following, which is the 30th, meeting on Saturday the 29th. Sunday the 30th, 1 o'clock p.m. at the fire station, same place, same station, fire station that is. We will be doing ham testing, so if you know anybody who's ready to take the tech test or do an upgrade, we'll have a whole crew in there. We've got a few people coming in. Walk-ins are allowed, but if you can, please let me know at kf6q at arrl.net. All right, the topic for the evening will be pulled out of the October QST magazine. If you don't have that, if you're not a member of the ARRL, of course, we always encourage people to join. For $39 a year, this magazine itself is a plethora, yes, I did say that word, plethora of great information and good for all levels of amateur radio guys, whether you're an extra, a general, or a tech, or just out there listening, thinking about becoming one of those. So. Anyway, good deal, great magazine, great organization, backs us up internationally and nationally, so good deal there. All right, we'll be pulling that from October issue of 2012, page 49, called 6 plus 2 equals 1. Whoa, that's weird math. More on that in a moment. All right, well, anybody else out there listening, always welcome to join in throughout. Have actually not a real long Tech Tuesday this evening, but a very good, interesting article. A couple neat things here. But before we start, well, Mike, let's see. I know that you always have a good solar weather report. Why don't you give that to us first, and then we'll get on to that incredible DX report you got.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, we'll give the basic solar weather report. Space weather right now, last time I checked, is reporting a sunspot number of 90, and a solar flux index of 137. Now, the QRZ homepage has been reporting all day an MUF, which means maximum usable frequency. That's the maximum frequency that you can use for reliable communications. And MUF today has been up above 30 megahertz most of the day. And I guess, as we all should know, or all know, the 10-meter band covers 28 to 30. So 10-meter band was hopping today and yesterday and the day before. So I've got a report here. Let's see. I have worked Spain, Eastern Canada, Stockholm, Sweden, Belgium, several stations in Rio de Janeiro and in South America, and quite a few Japanese stations. just before net time today with 4 watts. I worked, let's see, it would be JH1CDR, Ken, not too far from Tokyo. He was having a hard time copying me, but the band was kind of going the other way. So, even tech licenses, you guys get out there, you have between 28.3 and 28.5 for sideband. Simple antennas, you can use vertical, just throw a wire up in the air. Anything really works when conditions are this good. So get out there and have fun. 10 meters is a prime band when it's open, and it's kind of been poopy most of this sunspot cycle, but hopefully this is a signal of things to come for the next year or so. Hey, back to you, Tom. This is WB6CLZ. We're down in Placentia.
Well, Mike, that's fantastic. And all these contacts were with 10 watts or less, is that correct?
Several of them were 10, and most of them I try to keep it below 4, like about 4 point, I mean, below 5, like about 4.8 watts. That way I fit into the QRP criteria.
Excellent, excellent. And just for what you've been doing there, are you using a loop or a vertical, or what kind of antenna have you been using for all those great contacts?
The ones, all except for the Japanese stations that I work today and one of the South Americans that I work today, just basically a roll of number 14 THHN electrical wire thrown up around my property there in Big Bear. The top of it, or one of the end, the highest end, is on the tower up about 40 feet, and the rest of it 15 to 20 feet on some fiberglass poles, kind of makes a kind of a loop, and it's about just about 400 and some feet, a little bit less than 500 feet. Just a piece of wire anybody can buy for probably about $60 now.
Well, that's excellent, Mike, and I think a lot of that is your like multi-band, all-purpose, general-purpose, whatever loop. I mean, you're hitting all the bands on that thing, so. Yeah, I know you don't need anything quite that. This is for all everybody else out there. You don't need that big of a loop for 6 meters, 10 meters. I'm getting into the article here a little bit. But it's always good to have, and actually a 10-meter dipole can be put together really cheaply. A lot of good information there. Anybody who wants information on that, if you're a little handy with a hacksaw and possibly a screwdriver or something like that, can be had. You don't have to go out there and start plunking down cash. Also, if you need a radio, of course, which we all need a radio, if you're a tech, you don't have a 10-meter radio, keep in touch with us through emails. There's a lot of things that are out there, good bargains. I know quite a few people have picked them up rather cheap. They're used. Does not mean they don't work. This is not like a used car. It does not matter if it's got a 500,000 miles on it. That radio will still work perfectly fine like the day it was born or manufactured or whatever they do with those things. So, anyway, always keep in touch here. Don't need to plunk out a lot of cash. That's what Tech Tuesday is about. I like to get people involved without spending a lot of money and always keep a lot of information going out there. Let me reset. Well, Mike, good deal. We haven't heard Clint out there. I'm not sure if he's on a trek or expedition off to the parts unknown. Well, we'll give him a quick call here, too, see if he's got any input on the HamSat stuff. Don't hear him out there. Well, that's okay. Hopefully he didn't get kidnapped and taken over to Mars. Maybe he's up there. That's where he is. He's up there with the lander. All right, well, Mike, this is a really cool article here, and now we're talking about 6 meters and 2 meters, which could be opening up too here pretty quick, but even so, it's always open to some degree, and might want to mention this. 6 meters, 2 meters, of course, this is 2 meters we're on right now. 6 meters also is wide open for all tech class, and there's FM stuff, and there's single sideband stuff. Mike, real quick for the newbies out there, Well, what do we do here? We got FM and single sideband on the same band. I know 10 meter has that too. What's up with that? And basically, what is the difference, and how are the antennas different?
what you're hearing, my lovely voice tonight on. Yeah, just joking. Basically, FM, not only used for repeaters, not only used for simplex. There is some DX work on FM. Basically, we use on 6 and 2 meters FM in the higher portion of the band. Single sideband in the lower portion of the band is more, not the very low portion, because we use CW down there, but above the CW portion of the band and below the FM portion, we have a sideband section, and we use that mostly for DX, for low signal work, and a lot of times just rag chewing. There's nets on sideband. And a difference in antenna polarization. Well, sideband is a more effective mode for longer distance communications. Not that FM's not, but sideband is generally what is used. But as far as antennas, generally on FM, everything is vertically polarized, and on sideband, we're horizontally polarized. And that's about it in a nutshell. Back to you.
Hey, KF6Q here with Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Well, Mike, that's pretty cool, and you're right. Sideband, and we're talking about distances here. Sideband, of course, can be intercontinental, which basically you're almost reaching both ways to the far ends of the earth, and then some. One thing with FM, which is basically line of sight, but be careful about that. A lot of people have worked 200 miles line of sight is pretty cool into this repeater in itself, possibly even more. However, some of the hamsats, which we don't have Clint out there to really go into detail on that, I myself have worked probably 1,500 miles or better into space and bouncing back 1,500 miles further to somebody on the other side of the United States. So all on 5 watts, is that incredible, with FM. So FM is pretty cool. Amazing thing there, but single sideband, generally great for intercontinental stuff, or just across the country, or around the block. So anyway, good deal. So what we're going to do here is, and all these antennas, by the way, can be constructed or bought, so not a big deal. Well, tonight, our topic, picked out by Mike, very good, thanks Mike for picking this out, is done by Steve Ford, who's a WB8 Indio Mike Yankee. Basically, he is the editor of QST, and he always has great articles. We love his articles. So, and what he's talking about with 6 plus 2 equals 1 is basically the 6-meter band and the 2-meter band for single sideband, or FM, or CW, or whatever. Essentially, all-in-one roll-up antenna. Very portable. Take it with you. Roll it up, put it in a little bag, take it with you. And this has got to be the greatest thing for a homemade antenna. Well, Mike, basically they're talking about some other stuff he's done that basically Joel Hallis has done, W1ZR, with longer antennas, but this is pretty cool. What is this thing made out of? Back to you, Mike.
This is what's called a skeleton sleeve dipole antenna, and it is made out of 450 oh, now here's the technical thing, windowed ladder line. Golly, we call it window line or ladder line, and I never heard it called windowed ladder line, but it's basically what we use on HF for feed line. Very low loss, and probably about the the lowest loss of any feed line that you can get, other than maybe an open wire ladder line that we used to use in the olden days. This stuff's kind of cool, though. It's 450 ohms, very inexpensive. I think it's 37 cents a foot, and not too bad. Back to you, Tom.
Right, and if anybody's out there old enough to remember the days before coax for TV, before cable TV, boy, well, I guess we'll be going back on that one. But the old TV antennas and even some of the FM antennas basically were fed, and are still actually fed in some circumstances, with a flat ribbon wire. It's actually just two wires spaced apart, and it's solid plastic between that. Well, all we have here with this window line is they've cut out part of the plastic, kind of helps it out a little bit, makes it a little bit better, and it's a little bit further apart than those were back from the old TV days, so this ribbon or window cable resembles a lot of the old TV stuff, just a little bit wider, and got a bunch of square holes punched in it, so pretty neat, pretty available, can be ordered online or through HRO, AES, or many, many other places out there. Well, Mike, pretty cool. Yeah, it used to be cheaper, but I know it's gone up as everything else has. So this is it. This is the antenna itself. I mean, that's pretty simple. And because it's window line, will this roll up and go in your back pocket?
Yeah, I've got one in my go kit for 2 meters, kind of the same thing that we made. And yes, it will roll right up, and it even gives you a little bit of gain. It's a nice antenna. And as I'm reading down here, anybody that's been to Field Day more than a couple of times must realize that they're not really that organized sometimes. The necessity being the mother of invention and not the 60s rock band. But this guy suddenly realized that he didn't have anything on the air for 6 or 2 meters for Field Day, and time was running short. So he kind of got together with Joel and asked him for a miracle, and this is it. Yeah, it'll roll up, it'll very versatile antenna, and gosh, very inexpensive too. Back to you, Tom.
Well, you know, and the thing is, this works for two different bands, and of course we all know that radios and radio stuff likes to have specific size, and the better the antenna, the better your radio signal is going to be, and just like TV antennas are a certain size, and our ham antennas are a certain size, well, of course, that's dependent on the frequency and what it is, so 6 meter, 2 meter, two different frequencies. But the way this is done is actually it's two antennas in one, and they simply trim off part of the upper section, or half of it, for a shorter antenna, and the other half is a little bit longer. Both favor their specific frequencies, so pretty cool stuff. I think the neatest thing is that this is readily available, and let's see, so we have 110 inches, I think, a 450 ohm line, so that's basically just under 10 feet. And Mike, you said 37 cents a foot. So what you're telling me is for under $4, even tax included, or plus or minus a penny there, I've got myself a 6 meter and 2 meter portable antenna.
I think that's correct. I would think all of us would have an SO239 end connector or connector keg sticking around. And I know we're all feeding our radios with some sort of coax, or we wouldn't be listening right now. So, yeah, gosh, 35.5 inches on one and 103 inches on the other. With 110-inch hunk of ladder line, it leaves you a little bit to wrap around, a little bit to kind of trim off if you need to. Wire cutters, a blade to cut it with, like an X-Acto knife, and some solder, and you're good to go. Yeah, that's awfully inexpensive. I don't think that in our previous antenna workshops we have made anything this inexpensive. I think we're up in the $10 plus range for that kind of stuff. But refresh my memory, Tom. Back to you.
So, Mike, actually, you had a great portable J-pole, and I think a lot of people have built this out there. You built one before our eyes there, and we do need to get, I've had a lot of requests to get those things going, but possibly we can next year, running out of weather this year. But, yeah, essentially, I think that J-pole for 2 meters was really great out of basically that window line, and fantastic stuff there. Neat little thing here about this, and they used an SO239, which is a whole lot of lingo for basically a coax connector. But you don't really have to have that. That's just to make it convenient. You could literally connect the coax right to it. As we've said in the past, well, that's kind of like not the best way to match that up, but it can be done. And I think he used a couple little toroids or something around here to do it right. And everything was good to go. So you can actually have a length of coax and actually wire it right into this. A little modification there, saving some money. And a couple of these toroids. Wow. What's a toroid? Mike, tell me what a toroid is.
It's another name for a ferrite bead. It basically resists the flow. Now you're going to get me on this one. resists the flow of current or back into your radio. And basically, it's a piece of powdered metal. And you're going to correct me on this too. Powdered metal in a circle, and it clamps around the outside of the antenna. Now, give us what it really is, Tom. Back to you.
KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday in the group. Every Tuesday we can on Tuesdays, 1900 hours. Well, Mike, no, I'm not out here to set you up just so I can correct you. You actually had it pretty well nailed there. And that's what it does do. If anybody's ever had a computer monitor, the old kind that, you know, the big old CRTs, big TV tube types, and you'll see a lot of these, they look like a doggone place where the cord is got some kind of infection and swelled up. Well, that's actually a toroid. What that is and how it's made is not the most the critical part. What it does, though, is it keeps interference from going down into the power cord or whatever, or into the computer, whatever. Essentially, that's what we do here, too. Same thing. They are made out of powdered iron or ferrite. Or it's all iron of one sort or another. And basically put on, you buy these little things, they're like little donuts. And they fit over the coax, you just tape them on there, and they just make the radio really happy with an antenna that's probably not the most perfect thing in the world, but it makes everything work together. They all play together well when we put toroids in there. So, Mike, no, you pretty much nailed it. It's a pretty good deal there. So, well, anyway, I guess he's got this, it worked pretty well, and I guess his match was good. Now, this antenna can be, trimmed a little bit and used, like you said. Now, you have CW, single sideband, and FM. Well, who says who does what on what frequency in the same band? Is that just kind of like something we've all agreed to?
I'm looking at it right now. It's called the USA Amateur Radio HF Band Plan. ARRL sponsored, and basically it suggests where you should operate. Actually, I think on CW and sideband, it's more of a legality thing. I think you have to operate down there. But, it's a band plan and tells us where we can operate CW, where we can operate sideband, digital, and a lot of suggestions as to where we would go. Yeah, Tom, you have to realize I'm a seat-of-the-pants type of the guy. So sometimes I get it wrong, but that's why we've got you in there. Because then you can kind of steer it in the right direction. Yeah, but band plan tells you where you can operate. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and it's not as critical as, like, driving on the right side of the road. Yes, you can drive on the left side or the sidewalk. They're both really paved surfaces. But you probably are going to get in trouble. Well, that's pretty much cut in stone a law, and unless you're in Australia or England, and you might be on the other side legally. But what it is just kind of an agreement because of these different modulation methods, single sideband and FM and CW, which is Morse code, they're all different, and one does not play well with the other. In fact, they don't play well whatsoever. So to keep everybody happy and trying to keep everybody from getting messed up with the wrong type of modulation in the wrong area, we've divided up our bands so that we say, like, oh, well, the CW guys, you go here, single sideband go here, over there, and the FM guys are usually on the top up here. So pretty cool, just a real common thing. I don't think there's any penalties for it, but, you know, you don't want to be causing interference, and that would be a penalty. So, well, pretty cool, Mike. I like this. This is neat. Pretty cheap. We're looking at $4, maybe a length of coax, and it doesn't have to be great coax. I guess some of that RG58 would work, correct?
Probably not the most efficient, but we're not talking about 100 feet or so. You know, this is something that's probably going to be not too far from your rig. It's basically designed as a portable antenna. Well, we'd like to use RG8, but yeah, I think it'll work just fine.
Interesting thing here, too, of course, now this is primarily, I think, is aimed towards CWS and single sideband. However, if you've got some of the, what is it, the 8800, 8900 Yaesus out there, which also operate, well, I think the 8900 is a four-bander, it was 10, 6, 2, and 440. Now, that is FM, but you could actually construct this antenna. Now, they show this in the article as horizontal, because most single sideband of CW is horizontal, polarized. However, it can be done vertical, and I think he says that in the article, doesn't he, or Mike?
He does, Tom, either vertical or horizontal, and then you can kind of just hang it up if you've got a tower or a tree or something. I would think it even would work well as a sloper. Thank you.
A sloper. Uh-oh. What is that?
That is an angle that is not vertical or horizontal, somewhere between, and it's basically a when you don't have a method to put it up either straight or you know, like a dipole horizontal.
So if I only say if wherever I'm at, I only have one tree or one high point, I could kind of like attach one end to the high point. But I don't want to be vertical because I'm going to be doing sideband, or maybe I want to do everything. So is that kind of like splitting the difference a little bit, kind of like letting me do just about both?
In my world, which sometimes is not always the way it's supposed to be, I've got a sloper, and the son of a gun works pretty well. It's not up in the air now, but it worked pretty well on 6 meters. But it was basically just a dipole. It was not a skeleton sleeve.
You know, and just for our listeners out there, Mike, I got to ask you this, because most all FM stuff is vertical polarized, and I know you're in Placentia, and the last time I checked, you were using a horizontal polarized antenna, not even aimed our way, but is that what you're still using? And it seems to work great.
Red-faced, you caught me. Yeah, I've got a four-element horizontally polarized Cushcraft beam sitting right now. It's up about 40 feet, and it is, instead of pointing more to the northeast, my rotator has been stuck for a while, and I haven't gotten up there to troubleshoot it. This has been going on, but you know how things go with the 36, 40, 8-hour days, right, Tom? Hi. Yeah, and it's pointed east, and it does pretty well. And I'm running about 25 watts right now.
Well, Mike, you could probably run less, and I'm sure we would still hear you out there. The repeater's done an excellent job, at least as I speak, and I knock on wood. But this is actually what we're trying to say here this evening, is that even if the antenna is not set up perfectly, it'll still work. It'll work well. This antenna, very portable, 6 meter, 2 meter, single sideband, technician class people. Yes, you can operate single sideband. Of course, we can do CW. Of course, I was like, what's that? Morse code. I don't want to learn Morse code. Well, there's a lot of it going on out there. Kind of cool. A lot of history of Morse code, too, looking back in the middle of the 1800s. So, well, good deal. Mike, I'm going to open it up to the public here and see if there's anybody out there with any questions or comments or anything else with antennas, particularly making your own out of a piece of ladder line. My gosh, this is great. Anybody, any questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q.
AG6Q.
Good evening, Harold. Yes, go ahead.
I got two questions. Number one, which QST was that in? What month, what year?
The one we're pulling this out of is actually October 2012. However, Joel Hallis, call sign W1ZR, basically had a similar antenna, just a different frequency band, I think in the HF bands, all the way back in May of 2011, QST, and also in a, he expanded the article in October 2011, QST. So, yeah, he's had some other stuff there. Same type of design, just a different band. All it meant is that it's just cut a different length. So, yeah, this one tonight is October 2012. Second question.
Is this in
It's like a dipole. It's fed in the middle. The interesting thing is the 2 meter section, which is shorter, they actually split the longer section, the 6 meter section, which is, you know, basically a dipole. And the 2 meter kind of gets fed by the fact that it's, you know, it's fed, what do you call it? I guess you'd call it inductively from the 6 meter section. So, and it works great. So, yeah, it's just center fed, and except for the 2 meter, which is also basically center fed. It's just done more like, I'd say, I guess, what you call that type of feed. I guess you'd call it a T-match or something. But anyway, done very well. And like I say, horizontal for the CW single sideband, or flip it up vertical, or a sloper for doing both.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I had planned for a 300 ohm TV lead, twin lead. That was basically the same thing, except you split both of them in the center and hooked them up to your SO and ran them out on, you know, both directions. And supposedly you could do that with any number of bands as long as you space them the airspace, the distance between strips was the same as the width of the strip, and you had to make little plastic spacers that could hold them together. But okay, I'm gonna have a guy send you probably an email and ask you about this, and maybe you can send him the information, because I got it all garbled up here, and I don't think that he'll ever make sense out of my notes. AD6 field.
Yeah, and actually, Harold, as we do all these different things with antennas, this is not even all that magical. It's a version of what we would call a fan dipole, except it just doesn't fan. It's only two bands, and it basically is 450 ohm, the window line, only because it's readily available. It could be 300 ohm. It could be just about anything there. So I think the 450 ohm keeps it spread a little bit. And with that, he doesn't show them both being split, but they could be. And, you know, I think that's where we have the basic thing. I think George out there in Lucerne actually has done this before. We have multiple antennas fed with the same line. The one that is tuned for the frequency in use, it's kind of like it opens up like a big pipe. All the RF goes out in the air, and the band that's not being used kind of closes up. Basically, it's kind of like a pipe water scenario there of, you know, trying to compare. But anyway, good deal. Yeah, send me the email. Not a problem. Anybody else out there, any questions, comments, or suggestions, please come back.
Quick one, Tom.
Yes, Michael, go ahead.
So I'm reading here that 2 meter, that 35.5 inch 2 meter element is called a coupled resonator 2 meter element. Never heard that one before, but when you're looking at the diagram, makes sense.
Yeah, and you know what? If and anybody out there is familiar with the different matches of ways to connect into a Yagi or even just into an element. We have the, you know, the T-match, which basically is what this is, and it's actually done the same way. It's coupled where the actual feed is done. In fact, I think we had two members out there who basically built this. One was Jim, and one was Bill out there in Boulder Bay, and basically built that. That type of feed basically is the same way. So there's only so many different ways to... excuse the phrase, if you don't mean to hurt the kitty cat, but to skin the kitty cat, is basically what it's going to do is you're going to feed the antenna and you can make it look different a little bit. You'll build it out of something different. Basically, it's the same thing. So, but good deal. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions or suggestions, please come back.
Hey, Tom from Sun City, W6AWL. How is it tonight compared to how it's been?
Square. You're right down the street, and glad to see you got your antenna back up. Fantastic. And you're not on Echolink. I checked. Good deal. No, strong signal. Glad to hear you out there, Art.
Yeah, we gained about 12 feet in the elevation. Same antennas, a three-element quad on 2 meter. That's where I'm at. I'm getting banged from down south, but it doesn't matter whether I point at them or I don't. They get me. And on the HF, I raised that up from the center point, but the end points are still the same. And I checked in last night. Ray gave me about a 4. It's a lot better than what I was doing before. So I'm not sure how that's going to work. We'll keep working on the HF antenna.
Yeah, there's been some weird propagation. I guess some of the higher bands are opening up, 10's open. But I know even a week ago that HF was so down and out. It was weird. There were people so close by, right, in Southern California here, and even less than 100 miles away, and just not even hit the 75-meter net. So, yeah, that comes and goes, you know. So I don't know if there's a magic can be done there at all. And, of course, if we have some kind of solar flare incident, my gosh, just all bets are off. So, well, good hearing you out there, Art. Thanks for being out there this evening.
Okay, we'll shoot it back to you. I appreciate that. We've been listening here in and out, back and forth, doing the things I got to do. Be up there this weekend. I've got the net duties on Saturday morning for the 2 meter. So we're looking forward to being up there. We'll keep working on everything else we've got down here and work on ECS. I owe everybody some stuff for our new Yahoo group. I know I gotta get at it. It's one of those things. I'm still working that special project down here. Tom, thanks so much for doing this net and all of what you do for us. W6AWL, good evening.
Well, thanks, Art. Appreciate that. Of course, sharing that with Mike, who's always out there doing a great job also. So, kudos to you, Mike, WB6CLZ. Well, good deal. Anyway, anybody else out there, we're just talking about makeshift antennas. Very cheap, done with ladder line. Basically, very, very cool stuff. The article here, page 49, October 2012, kind of has this centered around 6 meter and 2 meter, but it can work on a lot of the other bands. And that, like I said, referring back to 2011, May, 2011, October, more of the same stuff. So great thing with QST Magazine, really, really, if you want to kind of keep abreast of this stuff, really suggest sign up for the ARRL if you haven't already. If you want to do that, please do it through our club. We can actually get a little credit for us. Doesn't cost you anymore. And by golly, once you're in this loop, you'll never regret all the great information that shows up every month. So, anyway, anybody else out there, before we close on that, I'm going to send it back to you, Mike, real quick. Anything else to add?
I will make a real quick one. Yeah, anybody that is interested in slow speed CW and learning CW, we have a kind of impromptu net on 3560 on 75 meters, and that's changeable, I mean, depending on conditions. But if anybody wants to play a little CW or wants to learn CW, it's in the technician portion of the band. Techs do have 75 meters from 25 to 3600 on CW only. Send me an email, look me up. Every now and then, I try when I'm in the office here to go ahead and monitor, or when I'm up in Big Bear to monitor around 4 o'clock. I try to do it between 4 and 6. If 10 meters is open, all bets are off. Or if the X is good. But send me an email and I'll meet anybody just about anywhere on the you know, in the tech portion or wherever they want to go, and play a little CW. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good important deal, Mike, and I really appreciate that, what you do, and everybody out there listening. Of course, there's a lot of new people out there in the last few years who basically took advantage of the fact that you don't need code, and that's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. But the more you get involved with this, it's like, well, wow, you know, this is really cool, because CW, Morse code, will basically span, I would say, Mike, further than any other type of modulation method. It was used originally for that, and with the same power levels and conditions, CW will break through further. So, kind of neat. You know, always optional now. But the funny thing is, there's a lot of people that are, you know, as an option now, are still going out there and learning Morse code, so fantastic. Well, anyway, one more call. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions, please come back.
Comments?
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
One comment and then a piece of information. The comment is that a lot of times when it's not mandatory, people that would be yelling their head off are starting to get anxious and say, hey, maybe I'll try that. Since I don't have to do it, I'm not forced into it. And like trying to force a cow to drink. The information that I'm going to pass along is somewhere on the net. I forget now exactly where it's located. There is a learning deal you can download for free. It's called the Morse Code Song. And I heard a little bit of it played a couple of times, and I don't copy Morse. I passed the five, and that was the end of it. It all played my mind, but I was sitting there copying it and didn't even realize it. So people who want to learn it might try that one at 86PO.
Oh, Harold, that's great information. Yeah, I think I have heard part of that, or was it the one of the element? I'm not sure. Anyway, that actually makes it kind of a catchy thing, and next thing you know, you're learning it without even trying, and that's what's fantastic about that. And there's a lot of different methods out there for learning code. I think there's a lot of people have kind of experimented with that. I know that the one I tried to do back in 1968 was not the way to learn how to do Morse code. That was with a 45, vary the speed of the record, and the Morse code speed was, now anyway, all right, we're not going to go there. Anyway, well, good deal. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate that. And, I'm sure you can Google that out there if somebody wants to, and they'll pick up on that. Anybody else? Any other comments, questions, or suggestions? Please come back to KF6Q.
Just want to add on to that. I read an article about the fellow who did that, and or somebody else that I guess I heard said his 5-year-old daughter, every time he got a computer out, started ragging on him to play the Morse code song, and she was learning the code without even having to be taught. She just listened to it, and it was staying in her mind, and he said that she was copying code when he'd be on the key, so, and the way the guy did it, the reason he called it a song, it's like, I guess it has like a rhythm, some kind of slow rhythm to it that sticks in your mind, so I thought I'd throw that out, 86 feel.
Yeah, also, this is probably one of the best ways to learn code, and learning to copy code is actually the big thing. Once you do that, actually sending code becomes the very, very easy part. But copying code, what you will end up finding is that you get accustomed, just like if you see the letter A printed on a piece of paper, your mind immediately says, hey, yes, the letter A. It's just automatic. You don't have to think, no, okay, wait a minute, okay, it's got two diagonal lines and a crossbar in the middle, that must be an A. It becomes automatic, and actually the code becomes that way also as you hear a sequence of dots and dashes or whatever. You don't have to actually think about what it is. It just automatically pops in your head. The song helps do that. There's a lot of other methods that help do that. Basically, to learn that sound just becomes like, I guess if you're a musician, the C note would be pretty much automatic after a while. To me, you know, music is music, and I don't know C from A from B. All I know is that it sounds good, whether it sounds good or bad. But anyway, different things like that, and actually our mind triggers into that, and once it's there, whether you wanted to or not, you've just learned code. All right, well, last call for any comments, questions, or suggestions.
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is Mike, WB6CLZ again. And a lot of the new transceivers will scroll the Morse code on the VVFO on your radio, so there's quite a few of them out there that will decode it automatically and scroll it across. But it is definitely a benefit to be able to copy it in your head or write it down. Back to you, Tom. Good Tech Tuesday.
Well, we always try to do something here, don't we? At least experiment and get all this new stuff out there, and we always love to expand on these articles from QST. Great stuff there. So, all right, last call. Anybody else? All right, we'll stick around here for a little bit, but appreciate everybody out there, all the guests who checked in, all the people who are out there just about every week. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Mike, thanks for picking this topic. It was a great topic. Good stuff, and it's amazing that even something as simple as that, there's a lot of good information there. So hopefully this has helped everybody out there, and any other questions, go ahead and feel free to email me at kf6q@arrl.net. Always willing to help anybody out there. Well, QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. We closing the net this evening at 1900 hours and 55 minutes. Thanks again for everybody for joining us, and we'll see you again a week from now. Returning the repeater back to normal use. KF6Q.